The following program is sponsored by Learn to Succeed, LLC. It's not right-wing radio. It's not left-wing radio. It's Think-Wing Radio. Welcome to Think-Wing Radio. And now your host, Mike Honig.
Good afternoon. I hope you had a good lunch. Welcome to Think-Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650 powered by CBS. You can visit our new, easier-to-remember website at thinkwingradio.com, where you can find past commentaries, voter information, articles, video clips, and, of course, our new area where you can listen to previously recorded shows you may have missed in the past, and more. You can post your comments and opinions, and I'd really be interested in hearing from you. Or, if you prefer, you can email me at thinkwingradio@msn.com. That's thinkwingradio, one word, at msn.com. Later on, I'll be giving away a free dinner for two valued at $25 at the Casa Olé at 34th Street and 290, and I'll tell you how to win that. This show is going to be open forum, but I'm betting we'll be talking elections, candidates, and politics in general. Call and tell us what you think of this election cycle. The phone number, as always, is 713-9650-650. My guest today is D.B. Grady. He's been on before. He's always a lot of fun to talk to. David is a former paratrooper with U.S. Army Special Operations Command. He corrected me last time. I wanted to get it right. And a veteran of Afghanistan. He is a regular contributor on military policy to The Atlantic. His debut novel, Red Planet Noir, won the 2010 Indie Book Award for Science Fiction. And again, you can speak to him, me, or both of us, which would, of course, be nicer, at 713-9650-650. But first, a comment of sorts. An educated electorate is a prerequisite for democracy. If you've ever visited my website, you know that's the first thing you see. It's the biggest font on the page. If you've listened to my show, you know the importance I place on knowledge and information. Knowledge is not only personal power, it's also the power behind democracy, any democracy, including ours. That's why I tutor in reading and writing, as well as offering intellectual enrichment in many other areas. And you've heard me talk about this before. You've heard the saying, reading is fundamental. I believe that to be literally true. It can and should be fun, but the ability to read and read well is also basic to everything else you want or need to learn. And I can help you in that area. English is a hard language. It may have more words than any other language in the world. The rules of English spelling and pronunciation seem random, mysterious, and often frustrating, but there are rules. Once you begin to learn them, English becomes much less mysterious and reading much more fun. I've worked with students ranging from elementary schoolers to adult professionals, with native English speakers and immigrants who speak English as a second language. People judge you by how you speak. You know what they say, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And reading builds vocabulary skills. People judge you by how you write, and I can help you write better. If you think I can assist your child, yourself, or someone you know, write to me today at thinkwingradio@msn.com. Read better, write better, learn more, be a better citizen. Contact me at thinkwingradio@msn.com because reading is fundamental. As always, that's how I feel, and you can tell me how you feel. You know the number, 713-9650-650. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650 at and 650Houston.com. As I said earlier, my guest today is D.B. Grady, former paratrooper with U.S. Special Ops Command, veteran of Afghanistan, military commentator in The Atlantic, author with, I'm told, another book he's working on in the pipeline. David, are you there with me?
How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Very well, very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. So there's so much strange stuff going on during this election. Strange and scary. Let's not forget scary. You almost don't know where to begin. One of the things that was high in the news last night was apparently there was what I think could be fairly called a terrorist attack or an attempt at a terrorist attack or intimidation at a U.S. congressman in Arizona, Grijalva, I believe his name is. It's worth noting that this particular box of what has already been assessed to be toxic material, although they haven't determined what the material is, was covered with swastikas as opposed to, say, Islamic symbols. Why is it that we have American Nazis, American skinheads, American militias? We have guys who send stuff with swastikas on it, but somehow it's only Muslims we should be worried about. How is that?
Well, I would say that probably because the Nazis, as a general party, haven't been much trouble since the 1940s, whereas militant Islam crashed a few planes into buildings only a few years ago. I would say that's probably the main reason why white powdery substance doesn't quite make the headlines. Like
toxic white powdery substance.
Did they ever determine exactly what the substance was? I don't believe it was anthrax, but I don't know what it was. I'm not minimizing it. Please make no mistake. I'm just curious. I just read the story myself, and
actually, I only glanced at it, although I do have a link to it here, which I'm going to scroll down to and take a look at it. But I guess
one of the things I would say is that generally speaking, these homegrown psychos are just so bad at what they do. And I think the United States, as a general rule, should be grateful. And this applies also to militant Islam. Thank God most of these terrorists are just so bad at what they do, because if they really got their act together, we would be in some serious trouble. So,
and I'm actually glad you pointed that out. It's not only American extremists who are bad at this. It's, thank goodness, also Islamic extremists who are bad at this. But that still doesn't affect the point, which is, while everybody, and don't get me wrong, I understand, Islamic extremists, a very few people can do a great deal of damage. But so can, you know, people like Timothy McVeigh.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
People like the guy who crashed his plane into an IRS building, and I think it was Dallas.
Right.
You know, these people are not trivial, but somehow white people are not in this equation. It's only Islamics. And you got swastika covered toxic. And they did say it was toxic. They just don't know toxic what. So I guess, you know, maybe they found it's either very alkaline, corrosive, acidic.
Right.
I don't know. But whatever it is, it is toxic.
Right. It might be aspartame for all we know.
Well, they said toxic. They didn't say unhealthy.
Yeah, unfortunately, these kinds of attacks, until we get some sort of cohesive and lasting narrative, we really won't know. I mean, you'll recall after 9/11, I believe it was Tom Daschle's office received envelopes of anthrax.
Was it anthrax? Did they ever determine that?
If I'm not mistaken, that was definitely anthrax. And again, that certainly doesn't get as much coverage. And we don't. I don't believe that was actually related to the 9/11 attacks, other than someone took the advantage of the chaos to maybe strike out at a political opponent. Generally, I'm looking at the Arizona representative who received this package, and I'm wondering what the motivation was here behind this attack.
Oh, because he is a huge opponent of 1070, that stop and demand identification law that Arizona passed, that the federal government is now contesting as an overstepping of state bounds.
Okay.
So, well, and he's been a very outspoken opponent and a very visible face up front.
Well, law enforcement needs to treat this exactly as a terrorist event should be treated, with no less sincerity and no less zealotry than the full seraph of the law. Whoever did this should be tracked down and prosecuted.
Now, what do you think about someone like Sharon Angle, who talks about if this election doesn't go our way, we're going to have to look at Second Amendment remedies? And now there's a Texas congressional candidate, Republican Tea Partier, who has literally talked about the possibility of revolution, use the word, in the event that this election doesn't go their way. Why are these people not just drummed out of political life as wackos? Why are they even taken seriously as candidates? Why isn't anyone denouncing them?
Well, you're here denouncing them today, and of course I would join you in denouncing them. I think in the height of most political campaigns, you run into a lot of really idiotic remarks. I don't think there's any question. I believe that the governor of Texas, did he not only last year talk about seceding from the union?
Yeah, that's
and,
our boy.
Sarah Palin's husband was part of the Alaska Independence Party. So,
yep.
So it's. There are crazies in all walks of political life, it seems.
Yeah, but we've never been in so much danger of the inmates running the asylum. I see this as a real political test for this country. Are we going to elect people with such extreme views? I'm not even talking about the libertarian stuff. I'm talking about we are ready to have a shooting revolution if the election doesn't go our way. And then you've got Joe Miller with his supporters marching down the street with non-military M16s, allegedly non-military M16s, with automatics and revolvers, you know, tucked in their cargo pants. I mean, this is brown shirt stuff. You know, this is what Hitler did before the Second World War, where he had his brown shirts out there intimidating people. And if people, again, going to this journalist who was handcuffed, if people disagreed, the brown shirts beat him up. Within an inch of their lives. And what's the difference?
In the 2008 election, we had Black Panthers guarding or intimidating voters for very similar reasons. It's just, this is...
Okay, I'm sorry. We have to take a break. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig, and we'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. And my guest today is author and commentator D.B. Grady. During the break, I actually got an email from one of our listeners by the name of Charles, and he is asking kind of an interesting question that I suspect is on the minds of many. He says, talk about some straight ticket voting. For instance, if I'm voting straight Democrat and there are some races where there is no Democratic candidate, will it skip those? Can I vote for other candidates? Also, he asks, if I want to go back and change my vote to Republican in several places, or perhaps someone else, is that okay, or will it negate the straight ticket vote in some way? So apparently there's some confusion. I will, and also he's concerned about whether he will indicate one candidate and then end up finding he has voted for another. My mom lives in Boynton Beach, which is real near West Palm. And those of you who are old enough to remember the 2000 election and the butterfly ballot, my mom voted on that ballot. And she said it was as horrific as we have heard. On the other hand, the electronic voting slates we have in Texas, from what I've heard by comparison, are actually pretty good. They're not touchscreen. You actually have a dial that you can rotate around. It makes it very, very plain who you've marked. You can vote straight ticket, and then you can go down the line and make individual exceptions. So if you want to vote straight Democratic, but there's a particular Republican or Libertarian judge in some criminal court that you would prefer, maybe you know something about him that makes him appealing to you, you can vote for that Republican or Libertarian or Green Party member and still not affect the rest of your straight ticket ballot. Now, also, when you get to the end, the Texas slate will actually show you any place. Not only will it show you a list of everybody you have voted for, and I think their party affiliation as well, if I recall, it will also show you anybody that you have not voted for either way. So, for example, in something like the 266 Criminal Court of Appeals, whatever it might be called, there were a couple of positions where no Democrat was running. So you can go back, you can vote for the Republican or the Libertarian, again, not affecting your otherwise straight ticket vote. There were a couple of races where you had people of one party. I'm trying to be as fair-minded, as balanced as I can here in terms of how I verbalize this. But there were a couple of positions where the candidates did not have opponents. And in that case, you can vote for them or not. Now, people talk about protest votes or not voting out of protest. When you have an unopposed candidate, that becomes kind of a reasonable strategy. So if you want to write somebody in instead of the sole candidate of a single party in that job, you can do that. If you simply don't want to vote for him so that when they count, they see, well, 1110, and you feel like you've made your protest vote that way, you can do that as well. Or if you like that candidate, even though they're unopposed, and you want to show your support, even though they don't need your vote, you can do that as well. But the straight ticket will, if you do straight ticket, it will apply on every single thing except the things you specifically make exceptions for. And you will have an opportunity. The ballot I saw, you had a two-page list of exactly who you had voted for, and you could go back and change anything you wanted, and nothing is final until you hit that red vote button. Then you're done. So be careful about that red button. But I hope that answers Charles's question, and I hope that answers the question for many of you out there.
I might add a bit to that.
Sure.
I might suggest to Charles that instead of voting straight ticket, either he stay home if he's not going to do the homework, or he uses this fancy network of globally connected computers to do some homework and find out who is a candidate worth voting for and who is not. But if you vote straight Democrat or straight Republican, you're going to get, I mean, you're going to, you can't complain whenever the people you vote for end up being lousy politicians.
Well, of course you can, because you voted. Anytime you vote, you have a right to complain. But I will tell you something. My position on this has actually evolved quite a bit. I think when I was younger, and I'm going to say this perhaps a little condescendingly, when I was your age, I actually felt the same way. I felt like if you don't know what you're voting for or who you're voting for, I would prefer you not vote. I would rather that people who vote know what they're doing and why they're doing it. That was something I actually felt for many years. I would have been in complete agreement with you. Over the last 10 or 15 years, though, I have evolved that view some. Because what I have come to believe, I would say understand, is voting is about dilution of special interests. If you have a 20% turnout, and the only people that turn out are the people that are really, really motivated for one particular position or candidate, even though there are many other people that may not like that candidate, but they feel, well, you know, I didn't know enough. I don't think I'm eligible to make that choice. A lot of it is about dilution. I think that there's something to statistical odds that if you get enough people voting, the people who know and the people who don't and the people who flip a coin sort of balances out. When I vote straight ticket, but that's not to say that I will never make an exception. You can't learn about every single candidate. When you start getting to Justice of the Peace in the 4th Precinct, I mean, you know, you just can't. There isn't enough time in your life to do that. So ultimately, what it comes down to is, do you have a party that you feel speaks for your general beliefs?
And right, but I mean, come on. I mean, a position like Justice of the Peace or Dog Catcher, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat.
Actually, it does,
no,
I have found.
I mean, come on.
You ever been in front of a court? David, you ever been in court?
No, not.
I have, and trust me, it makes a difference.
Justice of the Peace.
Justice of the Peace, family court judge. I have been.
Once you get into judges, you're a little bit different. But I mean, local elections, I would say I come from a small town, and everybody knows what's going on in a local election. Everybody knows the candidates, and everybody has a certain degrees of separation between the candidates. But when it comes to a national ticket, don't vote straight ticket. You have to vote on principle. That's my personal philosophy, and I am strongly in favor of, if you don't know what's going on, stay home, because your vote's meaningless. I mean, you're just voting to vote. That's you're adding nothing to the national discussion.
You know what?
The political the body politic.
I'm now okay with that. Like I said, I used to be on your side on this, and as the years, I mean, I did, really, honest to gosh, I do evolve over time. And I've now come to the conclusion that what we need to do is we need to balance out special interest, one-issue, single-issue voters. You know, we have a multi-billion-dollar light rail system in Houston now. It was voted down year after year after year, almost as long as I've been here, and I've been here since 77. And they just kept submitting it on the ballot. And here's the crime in this. You can reject it an infinite number of times, but if it's approved once, you're stuck with it forever. And it was It was rejected, I mean, probably at least a dozen or more times over the years. When it was finally approved, it was approved by a majority of less than 10% of the voters. I can tell you that most people weren't in favor of this system. The neighborhoods weren't. The businesses along the track route weren't. They just didn't show up. So now we have it.
Well, I mean, there's the flip side to that very same argument, though. In this case, yes, Houston was very fortunate to get a light rail system, but it could have just as well been a really terrible project.
It is.
Happened to get on.
Well, you see, I think the light rail system is a terrible project. I cuss it every time I go into
the
medical center.
I don't know enough about the light.
The upside and very little downside, but you know, because what they've done here is they've taken away traffic lanes. They've mixed up the rail with pedestrians and cars. We've had accidents that are totally avoidable.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry to have taken up most of this segment, but it's, you know, but you've been very nice. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig here on 650 and 650Houston.com, and we will be right back. And we're back with Think Wing Radio. I'm Mike Honig, your host on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. And my guest is commentator and author D.B. Grady. I love having D.B. on because, I mean, I really do. I enjoy the heck out of it. And the
reason being here.
And I'm glad because I really like having you back. And I think one of the things that I enjoy the most in our private and public conversations, I know we substantially agree on most of this stuff. But I'm always intrigued by how we come at it from such different directions. We arrive kind of at the same place, but it's just really interesting. It just goes to show that even when you agree, you can still disagree. It's an amazing thing, and it's really very sort of mind-expanding. It's helpful to understand how other people approach and arrive at different positions.
Well, I'm just a disagreeable person in general. it comes naturally to me.
Oh, I'm kind of a Grinch myself sometimes. You know, I'm becoming the old man that used to chase the kids off the lawn. I mean, it seems to come to all of us eventually. I'm becoming quite the curmudgeon.
There's nothing wrong with that. That should be celebrated. Here's to the contrarians.
Anyway, we were talking about straight ticket voting, and we were talking about whether or not you should vote if you know anything, and I guess I don't want to beat that to death, but there's so much to discuss there, and I would really love to see people go to my website at thinkwingradio.com and really put up their opinions on this, because this is a really, really key issue in any democracy. Should you vote if your knowledge is inadequate? What defines inadequate? How far down the ballot should you do serious research? I mean, there are a lot of really important questions in this argument. Getting back, I think, a little to candidates. Sharon Angle to Harry Reid, man up about your responsibility for causing unemployment. Do we want to talk about that? So Harry Reid is the reason that Wall Street and the financial markets crashed, that tax cuts were given without compensating budget cuts, passed at a time when the Republicans had the majority. Now, interestingly, they're also talking about tightening races. It's almost like the last 3 weeks when early voting starts, all of a sudden people wake up and start looking around and going, that guy's running? What do you think? I mean, what do you have to say about that stuff?
Well, I have a strong feeling that Harry Reid is probably packing his bags.
You really think so?
Yeah, I think it's over for Harry Reid. I think that after he was obliterated in that, I mean, regardless of what your opinion is, after he was obliterated in that debate, the writing's on the wall for him. Now there are candidates on both parties who think they have victory in the bank who should probably wake up and pay close attention. Now someone like Christine O'Donnell on the right, I see no.
She did a Nixonian. I am not a witch. I think that's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, that's not even.
I am you. I don't know what's in the First Amendment.
You know, and I have read pieces that say that was actually according to. I guess spot polling that was actually an effective political ad, but and I guess she has been the target of a lot of fairly shameful and ad hominem attacks. But
I would say justifiably derisive. I think when people are willfully ignorant, they deserve that.
Sure, but I mean, you're also encouraging the willfully ignorant to vote. So,
what I'm saying, not the willfully ignorant necessarily. What I'm saying is that if 90% of the voters turn out, what you'll get is a statistical balance. Instead of having one particular group influencing the election, you will get a more balanced view. And I've come to believe that that's ultimately good, because powerful, motivated minorities skew the outcome much more than the alternative. That's just the position I've kind of come to over the years.
I've evolved a position that believes that 99% of these candidates are influenced by the special interests.
Yes.
Regardless of who we vote for, or of whom we vote for.
Well, I guess one person's special interest is another person's just cause.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, is the NRA evil or is the NRA good? They're just a huge lobby.
It's all a point of view.
Exactly. But for the most part, I know James Fallows in The Atlantic wrote a very brief but very good article about the rise of, and you and I have talked about this,
yes,
of talk show candidates. And that's candidates who have kind of matriculated in public discourse, not through academia, not through some sort of, I don't know, drive or motivation to improve the nation or to improve the body politic, but simply to get in those shouting matches on the O'Reilly factor. And that's very good entertainment if you're into that sort of thing, which I'm not. But it makes for really, really lousy candidates. And this is a particularly dangerous demagogic breed of politician. And I think that for the most part, cable news is wholly responsible for it. So when we see someone like Christine O'Donnell rise up to snatch the nomination from a more establishment candidate, this is what you're going to get. This is what we've asked for. This is what we wanted. Well, now we got it. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Now we have to live with it.
I need to make a couple of announcements here. First of all, I had commented earlier, if you want to get a free dinner at Casa Ole at 34th Street and 290, a $25 value, all you need to do is be the first person to talk to me on the air today at 713-9-650-650. So far, we've given away three dinners to listeners as far away as Conroe. So grab your meal. Also, there's sort of an announcement I want to make. I'm not sure an announcement is quite the right word. If you're a new listener to this show, you may not realize it, but we've been on the air for almost 26 weeks now. And as DB will testify, I've had a great time. I've met tons of great and fascinating people, learned a lot of new stuff working on the show, and just overall have had a blast. But I've also been doing this, I feel, in all humility, for all of you out there. For years, I have felt that Houston radio needed an alternative to the right-wing distortions and hate that have become so much a part of the airwaves. And during those years, my work allowed me to talk to literally thousands of people, and I've learned a lot about opinions in Metro Houston. One of the things I've learned to a personal certainty is that there are a lot of you out there who aren't conservative and who are frustrated at the one-note choices we have here on talk radio. If you like this show, if you feel it's an oasis of sanity and fairness in an insane medium, if you feel that you've gotten something out of what we do here, I need to hear from you. Perhaps most importantly, if you want the show to continue and you or someone you know can help support it by advertising or other means, I would love to hear from you. If you appreciate Thinkwing Radio, if you feel it brings something more to your life listening to the radio and hearing open minds discuss differences of opinion, learning about current and past events, please join us. Contact me by email at thinkwingradio.com or write to me at thinkwingradio@msn.com, or you can even call the station at 713-881-5100. If you want to continue listening to Thinkwing Radio, if that's an option you want to continue to have, I need your support. If you believe in us as a voice in your life, then let us help you express your voice, and I hope to hear from you guys. And now back to our normally scheduled guest talk. Have I just kind of stunned you into silence, David?
Oh, no. I'm soaking it all up. I'm soaking it all up and sipping my glass of scotch.
Oh, man, I envy you.
Well, you know, we can't all live the good life. Somebody out there has to work.
Yeah. Actually, I love the blueberry beer myself, but that's a whole other topic of conversation. Belgian craft beers.
Quite frankly, that might lead to our most vicious and horrifying disagreement so far. So let's dwell on more safe grounds, like
okay.
politics and religion.
Yeah, let's talk abortion. I actually want to make this comment. There is a conservative talk show host on this show whom I will not name, but if anyone listens to the radio, they probably
name
know.
Name him. Why not? Can't live forever.
Okay.
Call him out.
All right. The radio show is called The Civil Right. The host is Natalie Archinot, I think is the last name. I have actually tried several times to do a couple of joint shows with her. I figured, you know, we could do my show and then we could do her show back to back. And that way, essentially, both of us would have 2 hours over 2 days to bicker, argue, and tell each other how wrong we are. And I have not heard back from her, which I have to say is disappointing. You know, I have tried to make a point, even though I keep telling people I do have a point of view. But that isn't to say that I'm not willing to discuss somebody else's. And I just thought that would be a great show. And it's a little disappointing to me that I haven't been able to hook up with
her
in that way.
Here's your opportunity. Call her out right now in public. You've got hundreds of thousands of people at your leisure. Call her out. Demand a show.
I guess I kind of just did, although it wasn't in the plan. But really, I think it would be a very, very cool show. She has some very strong opinions, and so do I.
What are you afraid of, Natalie? What are you afraid of? Pick up the phone.
Okay,
call
you
in.
Said it, I didn't.
Get a free dinner at Houston.
Yeah. Hey, Natalie, call the show and I'll give you a free dinner. How can you lose on a deal like that?
I'm still waiting for my free dinner. I called in.
You know what? If you want it, you do have to come to the station to claim it. But if you want that dinner, I will make sure you get it. Are you serious? You want it?
No. I'm teasing you. I'll leave it to a good Houstonian.
If you get here often enough, you know, you might enjoy it. I'd go there with you. We'd have a great dinner. You, me, your wife, my wife.
Sure, we can do that anytime.
Okay, so we don't need to necessarily
dinner. I do have a credit card, so we're okay.
Well, okay, if you insist. So getting back to this political thing, I guess maybe not getting back to the political thing, since I hear we're starting to get played out now. There are so many other things to talk about. Second World War keeps coming up in the news. 22,000 Japanese soldiers may have been found in mass graves. Unbelievable. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig here on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com with D.B. Grady as my guest. We will be right back. And we're back. Listening to Think Wing Radio, I'm your host, Mike Honig. My guest is D.B. Grady, commentator, author, and guy that I enjoy talking to because we get to the same place by totally different directions. I have a question for you. Well, a question and a comment, I guess. First Amendment free speech rights. Aside from the fact that there seems to be a lot of selective misunderstanding about First Amendment guarantees of the separation of church and state. I think the most common conservative complaint that they claim protection from the First Amendment is free speech. So when someone like Rick Sanchez or Juan Williams get fired because of something they say, you've got all the Bill O'Reillys and Sean Hannitys going, what about their free speech guarantees? What about First Amendment? They have to understand the First Amendment doesn't guarantee you a platform. It doesn't guarantee you an employer for your platform. It only guarantees that the government will not do anything to abridge free speech. They can't pass a law against it. They can't jail you for it. But that doesn't mean someone has to pay you to do it. What do you
think?
That's
correct.
Yeah. I think that's a big deal.
That's an accurate reading of the First Amendment.
I'm sorry?
I think that's an accurate reading of the First Amendment.
Well, but I think the functional word there is reading. Because you have all these conservatives that as soon as someone is fired for saying something hateful or racist, which, by the way, stealth racism over the last 5 or 10 years is something that I think is a really big issue that somehow we've never been able to spend enough time on. But, you know, Rick Sanchez and Juan Williams, they expressed an opinion that embarrassed their employers and or criticized their employers, and they were fired. And all of a sudden, the conservatives rise up and say, but what about their First Amendment right to free speech? Well, they've still got it. They just don't have a guarantee to get paid for it.
Yeah, I agree. Next question.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about stealth racism. I thought that was going to be a bigger topic for us.
Well, I mean, I think it's fairly self-explanatory.
Okay.
Nobody has a right to say whatever they want, whenever they want, at any place that they want. And I, you know, you could just as soon get fired for saying something stupid on the air than anyone else could.
Well, I'm not sure if I could get fired, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
Stealth racism. You know, I think what we've seen in this election is the sort of the ultimate destination of the encroaching racist and hateful comments that have been made over the last 10 years, more or less, by the Hannitys and the Becks and the Limbaughs. And I can't even believe we've gotten to the point now where some other people are so bad that I named him last.
Right.
Unbelievable. But, you know, it's like they've tested the waters, protested against political correctness. You know, this is politically correct, I won't do it. That's politically correct, I won't do it. But the things they claim are politically correct are not racist, not talking racist, not criticizing someone's ethnicity, not saying I won't fly on a plane if there are Muslims on it. I mean, here you have a Hispanic black guy essentially saying, I don't want to be in the same plane with those people. Does anyone else get the irony there?
Right. Well, you know, Juan Williams, unfortunately, I mean, he made a fairly stupid remark, and he's suffered the consequences.
Stupid, but heartfelt. He was saying what he believed, and that's almost worse.
Well,
because
I mean,
he is himself a minority.
Reporters are human beings, too, and they've got their stupid opinions.
And
I mean, let's face it.
Present company accepted.
Well, of course. But
of course.
We got rid of every reporter who had an idiotic opinion, we really probably wouldn't have any reporters. So, but he was fired, and that kind of solved that problem. And the same thing is true for Rick Sanchez. But again, you run into a situation where a guy like Juan Williams is paid to give his opinion. I mean, that's what his job is on Fox News. To my knowledge, he's not an objective reporter. He is he gives opinion, and the same goes for NPR. And in this case, he gave an opinion that wasn't popular, or was fairly poorly thought out, or just outright racist. And now he's gone. So that's what happens.
But I guess my concern here is, people are making racist and hate-filled comments targeting ethnic groups, targeting religious groups, targeting racial groups, and it's become so common that it's almost like no one even thinks anything of it anymore. You criticize a religious group, you know what,
right.
We're going to hire you and pay you $2 million to do that on our network.
Right. I will say that, you know, after 9/11, I know Louisiana had a representative who complained that we weren't going to allow any people with rags and fan belts wrapped around their heads to roam this country. And he was very resoundingly voted out of office and ostracized in the media.
And sometimes the voters make me proud.
It was very interesting that at the time, you know, at the height of passion, people had a cool head. It's just over time that sort of racism and that sort of demagoguery has been allowed to proliferate. But there are shameful, fraudulent charlatans out there, and that's the nature of the beast. And it's our job as responsible voters to make sure that they don't win out in the end, that they pay a price.
Well, I think I'm being told we have like 10 seconds.
We'll make it happen.
Okay. Less than a minute. That's what I'm being told. All right.
Okay.
I want to thank D.B. Grady, as always, for a fun, interesting conversation. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. The website is thinkwingradio.com. Slower traffic, keep right. It's not only a good idea, it's the law. And vote, 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 vote. Go to the website if you need information. I've got a lot of it there. Have a great week. I'll see you next time.